All right, today we are going to continue our study of the book Christianity and Liberalism by J. Gresham Machen. I handed out 20 copies of the book last Sunday, and we'll order some more. A couple of you have told me you need a copy. It is available for free online. I'll send out that link once again. Each week when I send out an update on our Sunday school class, it is available in various formats, including a PDF format online. I'll send that out to you. The audio is also available online if you want to listen to the book. But it's also good to have a print copy to have it here in class with you. So I'll order a few more copies, and we'll hopefully have them here next Sunday. But as you may remember from last Sunday, I noted that there are at least four reasons I want us to study this book together, Christianity and Liberalism. And the first reason is that it will help us to understand the Christian faith better. The book is not only a critique of liberalism, which is not another form of Christianity, but as Machen argues in the book, is another religion altogether. It's not only a critique of that, but it is also a positive statement of Christianity. And so studying this book, I believe, will help us to understand the Christian faith better. But it will also help us to understand the mission of the church. This was the second reason. Machen, in his book, sets forth the true nature and mission of the church in order to show what the church should be doing and should not be doing. Now, the third reason I want us to study Christianity and liberalism is that it will help us to understand the history of our church, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. This book was published at the height of a controversy known as the Modernist Fundamentalist Controversy in the 1920s and 30s. The book was published in 1923. And that controversy is what gave rise to the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. The OPC was founded in the midst of that controversy and as a result of that controversy. So a study of Christianity and liberalism will enable us to see what some of the major issues were. What were some of the major theological issues in particular in that controversy, and therefore to help us to understand why the OPC was founded. Now the fourth reason I want to study this book is that it will help us to understand the difference between Christianity and liberalism. Liberalism, as we're going to see, is not another kind of Christianity or a form of Christianity. It's another religion altogether, a false religion. Now, last Sunday, we talked a lot about the modernist fundamentalist controversy, and one of the things we did is define those terms, modernism and fundamentalism. Modernism, as you may remember, was an attempt to conform Christianity to the modern age, an enlightened age, an age of science and reason. And fundamentalism is a fundamentalist is one who affirms the so-called fundamentals of the Christian religion, including, we noted, these five things that were at the heart of the controversy. Last Sunday, we noted these five things: the inspiration of Holy Scripture, the doctrine of the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the atonement, the atoning redemptive work of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, and the historicity of miracles in the Bible. Those doctrines were sometimes referred to as the fundamentals. They were affirmed by the fundamentalist as necessary and essential articles of the Christian religion. And so you have the two terms, modernism and fundamentalism, and the debate between those two groups, the fundamentalist and the modernist. Now, Machen did not entitle his book Christianity and Modernism, but called it Christianity and Liberalism, but he's using liberalism as a synonym for modernism. And he regretted doing that because he thought that modernism was a more accurate term. It was a better term for it. So he should have called it Christianity and Modernism, and that's what he wanted to call it. And actually, I think when Machen originally published, before he published this book, he published an article. I believe it was in the Princeton Review, and he entitled that article Christianity or Liberalism. I think that would have been a better title than Christianity and Liberalism, because he wants to show how these two things are two different religions. They're not two branches from the same root, but they spring from two different roots altogether. Now, those two different roots have grown into two trees, and the limbs of those two trees overlap, and so you might look at them and say, hey, these two things are part of the same tree, but they're not. They come from two different roots. They're two different religions altogether. So Christianity or Liberalism would have been a more accurate title, or Christianity or Modernism. Now, let me ask you a question. Here's a pop quiz. See how well you remember the class from last Sunday. Was Machen a modernist or a fundamentalist? Very good. You all get an A. But didn't Machen affirm the fundamentals? Yes. Okay. Was Machen called a fundamentalist? Yes. Okay. And was but Machen was not a fundamentalist. You said he was not a fundamentalist. Now, what's different between Machen and the fundamentalist? Why is it that Machen is not a fundamentalist? Even though he sided with the fundamentalist in the controversy, he affirmed, like the fundamentalist, the fundamentals of the Christian religion. But why is he not a fundamentalist? Yes. Okay, very good. So one of the distinctions, and I'll repeat what was said, between Machen and the fundamentalist is that the fundamentalist tended to reduce the Christian religion down to the bare bones minimum of these essential articles of the Christian religion, like these five articles that we consider fundamentals and others that we consider fundamentals. What did Machen want to affirm? Not just these, but what did he want to affirm? Right, the whole system of doctrine, right? All biblical truth as taught in the Holy Scriptures and summarized in our confession, the Westminster Confession. So rather than calling Machen a fundamentalist, which tended to be a doctrinal minimalist, Machen was a confessionalist. Okay, he held very firmly to the confession and wanted the church to affirm all that is taught in Scripture and summarized in the confession, the whole system of doctrine, and not just to pick out isolated doctrines that are the absolute essentials that we all have to agree on these things. And we should all agree on these things, but not in isolation from the system of doctrine as a whole. Anything else that would distinguish Machen from the fundamentalists? Okay, so this is kind of where we left off last Sunday, and I'm going to pick it up at this point. Machen had a particular view of the church, doctrine of the church, that distinguished him from fundamentalism. And the doctrine of the church has come to be known as the spirituality of the church. Have you heard of that before? The spirituality of the church. What is the spirituality of the church? What does that doctrine mean? The church is a spiritual institution with a spiritual nature and a spiritual mission. Now, that is in distinction from what? Yes, Fritz. A worldly point of view? Okay, it certainly could be in distinction and is in distinction from a worldly point of view. But I have something else in mind. There's something else specifically in mind. Yes, Mike. Okay, so Mike is saying perhaps a focus on science and the world and stuff as verifying what's in Scripture. Is that what you said? Okay. No, that's not exactly what I have in mind. Okay, so let me ask it this way. What's the purpose of the church or the mission of the church? It's to glorify God, to share the gospel. Right. Yes, you're going to say something here? Yes, sir. Okay, that's very good. That's very good. And that is what I have in mind. And I'll try to restate what you have stated here, maybe using a little different terms. So the spirituality of the church recognizes that the church is a spiritual institution with a spiritual focus and a spiritual mission. And by spiritual, I mean heavenly. Okay, a heavenly orientation and a heavenly mission and a heavenly focus, a heavenly mindedness, and a heavenly goal and purpose in all of its work. It's working toward a heavenly goal. It's moving in that direction, and all that it does should be serving that heavenly telos or end, that goal that it's pressing toward, rather than some earthly mission that is trying to achieve something on earth, such as a better society or the improvement of culture, the improvement of our country, the Christianization of our country. Now, another way of putting it is, Machen was not seeking, or Machen did not think, let me say it this way, Machen did not think that the purpose of the church was to make our country a better country, but that the purpose of the church was to seek a better country, namely a heavenly country. And an eternal one, an abiding one. Now, that does not mean that the church has no effect on the earthly country. It most certainly does. But its calling and its mission and the ministries given to the church by God are not for the purpose of making this world a better place to live in, but of seeking another world, seeking a heavenly world. Now, there's a world of difference, no pun intended. Or maybe it is, between those two things. So here's what I want to focus on today. I want to pick it up right here and talk about the spirituality of the church for just a little bit and Machen's doctrine. So Machen's commitment to the spiritual nature and mission of the church put him at odds with many fundamentalists in his day. The fundamentalist believed that the work of the church was to Christianize the nation. That was the purpose of the church. That was the role of the church. That was the work of the church. What was the church called to do? What should it aim at achieving? Christianizing the nation. Now, the fundamentalists in Machen's day were Christian nationalists who wanted to Christianize the nation through various means, including political activism and social reform, starting Christian colleges, and so on. The modernists and the fundamentalists, now this is interesting, the modernists, the liberals, and the fundamentalists had something in common. They both wanted to leverage the church to accomplish social reform. To leverage the church to accomplish social reform. Now, the most obvious example of that is their support of prohibition. The prevention by law of the manufacture and sale of alcohol. The modernist and the fundamentalist both supported prohibition, but Machen objected to the church's involvement in politics altogether. Machen repudiated the notion that Christianity only has value insofar as it is a means for achieving some other end, like social justice, cultural improvement, or a healthy community. Not that there is anything wrong with those things in themselves, but that Christianity does not have, but to say that Christianity has value only in so far that it can achieve those things is another religion altogether. Now, here's what Machen wrote, and this is on page 127 of your book, if you want to see where the quote is. Machen says, in Christianity and Liberalism, it's page 127, the persons who speak in this way usually have little interest in religion for its own sake. It has never occurred to them to enter into the secret place of communion with the Holy God, but religion is thought to be necessary for a healthy communion, and therefore, for the sake of the community, they are willing to have a church. But Machen, and this is on page 128, Machen argued that Christianity is, quote, directed toward another world. So that otherworldly direction or orientation and nature of the church is the spirituality of the church. Again, pages 127 and 128. So it's at the very bottom of 127. Christianity, Machen said, will indeed accomplish many useful things in this world, but if it is accepted in order to accomplish those useful things, it is not Christianity. You see the difference? It will accomplish many useful things in this world, but if it is accepted in order to accomplish those things, it's not Christianity. So Machen held that in the fundamentalist modernist controversy, both sides had lost sight of the spirituality of the church, the doctrine of the spirituality of the church. So either through humanitarian efforts or social activism, the Presbyterian Church, on both sides, both the fundamentalist side or the modernist side, was turning away from its spiritual mission. Now, in 1933, Machen said in an address that was given before a gathering of political and social scientists, so he's addressing scientists, political and social scientists, Machen said the following: you cannot expect from a true Christian church any official pronouncements upon the political or social questions of the day. And you cannot expect cooperation with the state in anything involving the use of force. Important are the functions of the police, but the function of the church in its corporate capacity is of an entirely different kind. Its weapons against evil are spiritual, not carnal. And by becoming a political lobby through the advocacy of political measures, whether good or bad, the church is turning aside from its proper mission, which is to bring to bear upon human hearts the solemn and imperious, yet also sweet and gracious appeal of the gospel of Christ, right? To preach the gospel, to spread the gospel. So Machen concludes Christianity and Liberalism. This is at the end of his book in the chapter on the church. He concludes it by lamenting the church's abandonment of her spiritual mission and heavenly mindedness in order to pursue an earthly utopia through humanitarian and political efforts. And both the modernists and the fundamentalists were guilty of doing just that. Now let me move on, unless there are any questions. Any comments or questions about that? Yes, sir.
Do you think Machen would have been opposed to the idea of chaplaincy in the military? I know he opposed World War II entrance into Christian involvement in World War II.
That's a good question. I don't remember the second half of the question, but the first part was, would Machen have been opposed to the chaplaincy in the military? I don't know. I don't know that either. I don't think so. I haven't heard that. But Machen served in World War I with the YMCA, with the YMCA, for a year. Right, right. Yeah, he may have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
About that, yeah. Yes, Donna.
Which is basically talking about how to keep Christians from being close to God if they have your Right. If you happen to be called to be a politician personally, that's one thing, but not as a as an organization, you know?
That's a good point, right.
We're being distracted from the highest calling.
That's true. A good point. We don't. Machen is arguing against the church being distracted from its calling. Okay. Now, this is important. I'm glad you brought this up because it makes me think a little bit about the previous question. Machen was not opposed to Christians being involved in politics. Machen was not opposed to Christians serving as politicians, seeking political office. What he was opposed to was the church as the church getting involved in politics, not Christians as individuals getting involved in politics. Now, what's the difference between those two things?
The one represents Jesus as a church. When I say vote this way as a church, I'm speaking on behalf of God in a sense. I mean, from someone who doesn't know. Not that I think I know, but it appears that way. That God is Republican, or God is Democrat, or God is, you know what I mean? And it's, I think it's treading on ground you should be on.
Right, okay, very good. Other thoughts? Fritz? Yeah. Good. Yes. Yeah. Is there a danger in confusing the kingdom of God and the state? Really? That's dangerous? Why would that be dangerous? What harm could come from that? Okay. Well, I don't think I can. I only heard about half of it, but I think I got the gist of it. Yes. So did you hear that? Yes, very good. Yes, very good. So is the state our savior?
No.
Is any earthly king our Messiah?
No.
Okay. Would it be dangerous then to confuse the church and the state, to collapse a distinction between those two things? Yes, it could be extremely dangerous, right? Now, David Pimentel was going to say something. Yes, sir. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. So it is an important distinction to make as the church as an institution, right? And the particular calling given to the church as an institution and the particular ordinances given to the church by Christ as an institution and the particular work and ministries the church should be involved in as an institution. And there's a difference between that and what believers do as believers. What believers do as believers is not disconnected from that, right? And I think that's what you're trying to point out. It's not disconnected from that because there is an organic, inseparable connection between them, but there's nevertheless a distinction, too. And this gentleman here, Ike, you were going to say something? Okay. Mike?
Yeah, I just want to. It's interesting that
Yes, very good.
In conjunction with what he said in chapter 1 about how socialism, and here he's talking about the political socialism.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I don't want to spend too much time on this particular topic because there is no question but that the church has been politicized, right, in many ways, and it was being politicized in Machen's day. Woodrow Wilson was a Presbyterian elder. Did you know that? And a very good friend of J. Gresham Machen. Really good friends of the family. And Woodrow Wilson, everyone's favorite president, right? very good friend of Machen's family. So there was a direct connection to the Presbyterian Church USA, the PCUSA, and why the PCUSA was getting so caught up in politics, and why Machen, even though a personal family friend of the Wilsons, was very much opposed to it. Fritz, did you have something else you wanted to say? And I see Tom does too, but Fritz... That's very good. Tom?
I was just going to say, I don't see, particularly in the New Testament, that the church is called to bring about a theocracy in the now.
Right.
There's the now, but there's the then and the not yet.
Right, yeah. All right. Very good. Let's move on to another topic. I knew that one would be opening a can of worms. But what I want you to think about, really, as you read through Christianity and Liberalism, and you'll see it come up a few different times throughout the book, but then Machen really focuses his attention on it in that last chapter on the church. What is the church? What did God call the church to do? What should the church be doing and not doing? That's when you see the doctrine of the spirituality of the church especially emphasized by him. So keep that in mind as you're reading through the book. And, of course, we're going to come back through it as we make our way through the book. But let's focus. Let me do this. Let me give you an introduction to the origin of Christianity and liberalism. So we're going to narrow our focus down not to the fundamentalist modernist controversy more broadly, or Machen's doctrine of the spirituality of the church more broadly, but how did this book come about? So on November 3rd, 1921, Machen delivered an address before the Chester Presbytery Elders Association on the subject of Christianity and liberalism, and the men who heard it urged him to publish it. So this was a group of elders. A meeting in Pennsylvania, and Machen spoke to them, and he mentions this on, you'll see it on Roman numeral 17 at the front of the book, Roman numeral 17 in the preface. Machen says, November 3rd, 1921, the author of the present book delivered before the Ruling Elders Association of Chester Presbytery an address which was subsequently published in the Princeton Theological Review under the title liberalism or Christianity. As again, I said, I think that's a better title. The interest with which the published address was received has encouraged the author to undertake a more extensive presentation of the same subject. So Machen, in 1921, after giving this address to these elders, who in turn encouraged him to publish it, publishes it in an article form, but then also starts to work it into a longer book. And he had that manuscript ready for publication by 1923. The book was originally published by the Macmillan Company publishers in New York. And in the middle of the book, if you turn to where the pictures are in the book, my favorite part of the book, if you turn to where the pictures are, one is a picture of a Macmillan advertising leaflet for the book. So the pictures start on page 78. And if you'll go over two or three pages over, you'll see it says Christianity and Liberalism. Let me read to you the advertisement that the Macmillan Company publishers put out, printed, which gives a summary of the book. An answer is given in this volume to the question, what is the difference between modern liberal religion and historic Christianity? The author is convinced that liberalism on the one hand and the religion of the historic church on the other are not two varieties of the same religion, but two distinct religions proceeding from altogether separate roots. This conviction is supported by a brief comparison of the teachings of the historic Christianity and of modern liberalism with regard to God and man, the Bible, Christ, salvation, the church, and Christian service, which are kind of the chapter headings of the book. The pictures start on page 78 in this edition of the volume of the book. You're kidding. You got to be kidding. New edition. I ordered the pop-up book with Machen popping up in it. I apologize. I thought I got you the pictured version of the book. I didn't know there was a one without pictures. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. Well, anyhow, there wasn't mine, and your copies look exactly identical to mine on the covers and everything, but sorry. Okay. So, exactly. Published 1923, February 1923. By the end of the year, Macmillan had sold 1,000 copies. In 1924, it sold even more. And by the end of that year, it had sold about 5,000 copies. So word about the book got around. And it became a part of the debate between the modernists and the fundamentalists, because Machen, from the fundamentalist perspective, had given a definitive response to modernism. And I think he did. And I think it's a response that has never been answered by the modernist. In 1954, Ned B. Stonehouse, one of Machen's biographers, wrote that Christianity and liberalism has continued in steady and at times in strong demand ever since. So that was in 1954, and by then it had been translated into Russian and Chinese and Korean and other languages. Now, Machen gives a summary of his thesis, and this is on Roman numeral 9 of your book. It better be on Roman numeral 9 of your book. Footnote number 1 at the bottom of the page. Do you see that there? Machen summed up? Yes. Machen summed up his thesis in a letter to British Weekly, September 11, 1924. So here's what Machen says. The truth is that the manifold religious life of the present day, despite interlocking of the branches and much interaction, does not spring from one root but from two. One root is Christianity. The other is a naturalistic or agnostic modernism, which, despite Christian influences in detail, is fundamentally hostile to the Christian faith. Now, that's something he's going to harp on throughout the book, that Christianity and liberalism spring from different roots. Their branches might interlock. It might look like they overlap some, but they spring from different roots. And the two religions, they're two religions, and those two religions are incompatible with each other. They are, in fact, hostile toward each other. Modernism is hostile toward Christianity. It's antagonistic to Christianity. And it's not just incompatible. It can't peacefully coexist. And here's one of the big points he's getting at. It cannot peacefully coexist in the church. In the church, it cannot coexist. The liberals have to go. That's what he's arguing. Now, that made a lot of people mad, including many of the fundamentalists. Because the fundamentalists... Now, here's... Okay, get this. Fundamentalists were saying, okay, Machen's right that their modernism's wrong, but we got to we can't split the church, Machen. You can't split the church because we can't accomplish what we're trying to accomplish. What's that? Christianizing the nation. Do you see it? So you, what do? You boil the Christian religion down to, okay, these are a few things we can all agree on. We can all agree on these few doctrines here. We can hold everybody together under this big tent. And that gives us a big platform, a big footprint in the nation. What does that give us? It gives us influence. It gives us a seat at the table. It gives politicians a voting base that they're going to appeal to. They need us to get elected into office. So we have to stay together. Why? To accomplish our goal, which is what? Make America great again. I didn't want to say that, but make America great again. That's what it was all about. I'm telling you, that's what it was all about. And the modernists and the fundamentalists agreed that's what we have to do. Now, they had different views over how to do that, but they all agreed that that was the role of the church. And we have to, therefore, peacefully coexist in the same church if we're going to accomplish that end. Now, why do you think Matron rails against not only modernism, but the fundamentalists who were willing to peacefully coexist with the modernist and argues that they are selling their birthright for some stew, for some earthly stew? They're selling their birthright. They're selling their heavenly birthright in order to accomplish something that wasn't our goal to begin with. I see like hands everywhere. It's like a revival here. So yes, Jean, you. Yep, that's right. Okay, well, so you're right, yes. Not all fundamentalists are ecumenist. She's talking about ecumenism, promoting ecumenism, ecumenical efforts.
With
fundamentalism, you're right. Well, no, you should not at all think that way, because fundamentalism is a broad term, and there are all kinds of groups within fundamentalism, okay? So the fundamentalists in Machen's day were, many of them were ecumenist, and they wanted a big tent because they wanted a seat at the table to influence culture and society and politics. They wanted to reform society. Yeah, January 1st, 37.
So that was before I was born.
Yeah. Someone else was going to say something. I think we got... Yes, Fritz.
Thank you.
Presbyterian elder. Right. Yes, you do. Yes, you most certainly do. Okay, let me read to you one other quote from Machen, and this is not in your book, but it's included in this biography of Machen written by Ned B. Stonehouse. And Machen is summarizing his thesis, and he's summarizing it for Macmillan to use in its advertising of the book. So Machen says, oh, wait a second, I'm mistaken. This is not Machen's words, this is Macmillan. Macmillan wrote this. Or maybe I'm wrong. I can't read my notes here. What is the difference between modern liberal religion and historic Christianity? An answer to this question is attempted in the present book. The author is convinced that liberalism on the one hand and the religion of the historic church on the other are not two varieties of the same religion, but two distinct religions proceeding from altogether separate roots. This is what we heard earlier. Right? The conviction is supported by a brief setting forth of the teachings of the historic Christianity and the modern liberalism with regard to God and man, the Bible, Christ, salvation, and the church and Christian service. If Christianity in its historic acceptation is really to be abandoned, it is at least advisable that men should know what they are giving up and what they are putting in its place. Okay, so this is another statement Machen gave. Machen did write that. He was arguing that Christians were abandoning the Christian religion and not even realizing that they were doing it because liberalism looked like another form of Christianity. But they are not. They're not the same thing. They're two different religions. All right. We are just about out of time for today. Any other thoughts, comments, or questions? Yes, sir. Gary. Yes. Yeah, syncretism, right, liberalism and modernism, to try and blend the two would be a form of syncretism, right? Blending two different kinds of religions, right? Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Right. Yes. Modernism is a form of naturalism. Do you know what naturalism is? What is naturalism? Okay, miraculous intervention by God is denied, right? In other words, whatever happens here in time and history can be explained by naturalistic causes, okay, and not by any supernatural intervention. I don't really like the word intervention because it assumes that the natural events that occur in time and history are not superintended by God, right? That they're kind of acting on their own, but that's not the case. But naturalism presupposes a closed universe. Okay, what exists in the universe, if there is a God, he's outside of the universe and he has no involvement in the universe. So that's naturalism. Yes, Fritz? Yes, yeah. Right, right. Yes, Jean. Yes.
It seems to me naturalism is almost a human belief that if it isn't humanly understandable, that it can't possibly exist.
Yes. Yes, is the virgin birth humanly understandable? No. No, not really. So do you think it really happened? Did it really happen? I mean, can we really believe in this age of enlightenment and science? Can we believe in the light bulb and also believe in the virgin birth? You think we can? Yeah. Of course. Why would that be hard to believe? In the first,
yes.
Right. That's hard to believe. Isn't it? Yes. Yes, sir. In back. Yes. Okay. So the question is, who are the men Machen was writing against? Who were the modernists? Okay. Harry Emerson Fosdick was one modernist. Probably the most well-known was a Baptist pastor pastoring a Presbyterian church in New York. That right there tells you you got a problem, right? There's something wrong. But he preached a sermon, and this was early 20s. I can't remember if it preceded or followed Machen's book, Christianity and Liberalism. But Fosdick preached a sermon entitled, Shall the Fundamentalists Win? So, shall they win? Now, he's talking about fundamentalism because there were Baptist fundamentalists or Presbyterian fundamentalists. There were Presbyterian modernists, Baptist modernists. He was a Baptist modernist. So, Fosdick is one. Let me name a couple of others that I won't say were enemies of Machen, but nevertheless, they're the reason the Orthodox Presbyterian Church inevitably got started. Charles Erdman and J. Ross Stevenson were evangelicals. They would be fundamentalists because they would affirm the virgin birth. They would affirm the miracles in the Bible. But they were, what will we call them? They were not willing to split the church, okay? They wanted to keep the modernists and the fundamentalists together in one church. So they ended up opposing Machen. Now, Machen ended up being defrocked, okay, divested from office as a minister in the PCUSA in 1936, and that's when the OPC was founded. And I can't remember all of the history of how this went down, but I think it was either Erdman or J. Ross Stevenson who was the moderator of the General Assembly at which he was divested from office, or which he didn't get to have his trial. It was appealed to the General Assembly. The Presbytery divested him. He appealed to the General Assembly. The General Assembly did not let him speak on the floor. And so they deprived him of an opportunity to give a defense and would not deal with the theological issues. They just wanted to get rid of Machen because if they let him stay in the church, he would split the church, and they couldn't let that happen. They just couldn't let that happen. We're kind of out of time, but Fritz, one more thing? Yeah. Okay, very good. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us in the pages of Holy Scripture and for making yourself known to us as our Creator, our Redeemer, our Consummator. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is your power unto salvation to everyone who believes. Father, may that gospel be preached boldly, clearly, and purely throughout the world. And we pray that you would cause us to be faithful to the Scriptures and to the gospel of Christ all our days as a church and as individuals to be faithful to you in our walk. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.